I'm speaking with Anthony Princiati, conductor of the Dartmouth Symphony Orchestra. He's principal guest conductor of the Vermont Symphony Orchestra as well, but Dartmouth is our focus because on Sunday, May 31st at 2 p.m. in Spalding Auditorium of the Hopkins Center, he will lead the Dartmouth Symphony Orchestra in Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 6. Well, you've conducted a number of Mahler symphonies in the recent past. I remember the Resurrection Symphony, No. 2, a few years back. That was a terrific performance. And you've also conducted the Fifth Symphony of Mahler not so long ago. So tackling the Sixth is still an awesome project because it's an amazing, scary piece in some ways.
It is. And, of course, programming it for springtime and graduation season, there's something anti-intuitive about that, I guess. When I do programming for that orchestra, although I make the final decisions about what we're going to do, I solicit a lot of student input because I think it's really important that they have the opportunity to play music that they'll feel enthusiastic about. And of course, that makes it an easier task for me as a teacher to sort of leverage that enthusiasm into even more work on the material. And I had gone through a long presentation at one point. This was a few years ago, actually, talking about why doing the Mahler Sixth in the spring was not a good idea. They didn't find my arguments compelling.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Absolutely. I love the piece. I love conducting it. And I'm glad to do it. And they've really taken to it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Mahler Sixth Symphony, which is sometimes referred to as his tragic symphony. He wrote it at a happy time in his life, a relatively happy time, and yet it's his darkest symphony.
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot. It was written during the summers of 1903 and 1904, Mahler born in 1860. In 1902, he married a woman, Alma Schindler, who was a great femme fatale, who ended up marrying the architect Walter Gropius and Franz Werfel, the writer later on. Tom Lehrer wrote a song about it. A very beautiful, interesting, brilliant woman, half Mahler's age. I sometimes think the fact that his personal life was so peaceful at that time may have given him a certain sort of room to explore these darkest aspects, not only of the human condition, but certainly things that must have brought up difficult periods in his own life. There's a lot of mythology that's grown up around this piece because the last movement has what's known as hammer blows. Mahler makes a very, very unusual request that at three points in the last movement, a hammer is supposed to be struck. And he doesn't say very specifically what the percussion player is supposed to strike. He just describes the sound he wants. He says he wants it to be non-metallic, powerful, but dull, like the sound of a giant axe.
A big thud.
A big thud.
Many conductors don't use the third hammer blow.
Right, I do. The two main controversies with this piece are not only the number of hammer blows in the last movement, but the order of the middle movements.
Right.
Supposedly, very close to the premiere, during the time of the rehearsals for the premiere, he changed his mind. He switched it. So the slow movement came second, and the dance movement came third. And he never conducted it any differently than that in his lifetime. Well, about 15 years later, the conductor of the Concertgebouw Orchestra, Wilhelm Mengelberg, Amsterdam being a great center of Mahler enthusiasm even during Mahler's life, he writes to Mahler's widow. And he says, so what about the order of these middle two movements? Because there was an edition of the piece that had been printed with the dance movement in second place and the slow movement third. So there was confusion. And she writes back and she writes scherzo, dance movement, first, and then andante. And so that was the beginning, really, of the controversy. There's no evidence that Mahler ever conducted it with the dance movement in second place. So why do I guess this begs the question, why do I insist that it should come in second place? I think that the placement of that movement second is so embedded in the piece's composition. You have to remember with Mahler, he wrote his music very, very fast. He was an incredibly busy conductor. And the time he had to compose was really, really limited. He was a holiday composer. He would have 6 to 8 weeks in the summer. And these enormous symphonies he would write, it would just come pouring out of him. And I think that initial concept was, you know, it's like the roots of a tree. I just don't think it is changeable in a way that feels credible to me.
I'm speaking with Anthony Princiati, who will lead the Dartmouth Symphony Orchestra in the work we've been talking about, the Symphony No. 6 of Gustav Mahler, Sunday, May 31st at 2 in the afternoon at Spalding Auditorium of the Hopkins Center at Dartmouth. And you can get all the details at hop.dartmouth.edu or call the box office at 603-646-2422. Well, thank you very much, Anthony, for speaking with us about Mahler's Sixth Symphony. It's an epic piece, ferocious at times and very beautiful at times and ultimately very powerful.
It is an absolutely epic experience to hear it. It's just like no other. I think this will be the first performance of this symphony in northern New England, at least as far as I know. Maybe there's other information out there, but it's just, it's such a rare opportunity to hear it